So somebody trusts me, so I'm here. We can open up prayer. Thank you so much for our worship team. Your presence is definitely so over this building and on each of our hearts. Let me just lift up this sermon to you, Father God. Let it be your words and not mine. And touch the hearts of those that need to hear it. Open the minds and the hearts of everyone in this room to receive your spirit and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when I was initially asked to speak, I was told, oh, you could talk about things that have gone on over the last year and some of the trials and stuff, but I kind of feel like I've beat you guys to death like a dead horse with that. Because everybody knows what we went through. Everybody knows about our journey over the last year, and so I kind of put more of a twist into it, and I started thinking, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about us. I want to talk about the love that we received. We received so much love from so many people, strangers, people that we know, churches I used to go to, I don't even go to anymore. Just an outpouring of love. And so I prayed about it, and I kind of felt like, on top of that, it's February, and February is Valentine's Day in February, so it's kind of like the month of love. So I thought a good topic would be to love like Christ. So I started looking and trying to figure out how many times the word love is used in the Bible. And depending on, there wasn't an exact number, because depending on which translation you use, it's used more or less, but it's used over 500 times in the Bible, over 500 times. So that should tell you how important love is, and that point needs to be gotten across to everybody from God. So Matthew 22:39, I'm kind of going to go off of that scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. Notice that it says yourself. God doesn't want you to neglect yourself. We see and hear things all the time about self-care. And let's face it, we do live in a pretty entitled world to some extent. And you hear a lot about me, 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 and what I need for me, what I need for me. And those are all, we are supposed to love ourselves. I mean, that is part of what the Bible tells us. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we are supposed to love ourselves. We are supposed to take care of ourselves. And, I mean, he created us in his image, and our body's a temple, so how can we not love God's creation? But what it's simply asking is that, or actually commanding, is that we love others as ourselves. Love your neighbor as yourself. So he wants you to love yourself, but he wants you to love your neighbors with that same kind of love. There's so much more to that scripture. We live in such a divided world, and you know, some say that this is our new normal, I guess. The way I see it is that a divided world needs a united church. Eat it. Okay. If we as a church are divided, then I don't know how we can expect anyone to want what we have. What are we doing to entice people to want what we have and to want what we're offering with the love of Christ if we're divided? So, this just off the top, if I'm going out and complaining and saying, you know, Jennifer didn't follow through with what she told me she was going to do last week, and Terry, I heard Terry over here talking about so-and-so last week, and I heard Johnny out here just bad-mouthing our new pastor, you know, what type of picture? Yeah, Johnny. You know, if we're going around, running around and saying, what are they doing without a pastor, you know, and we're bad-mouthing outside of these walls, if we're bad-mouthing our church or bad-mouthing someone specific in our church, what kind of a picture did we just give of our church? You know, what did we just give them to make them want to come here? I don't want to go somewhere where it sounds like there's drama and chaos and chattiness and people talking about other people. And no, I want to go somewhere where I'm going to feel love. I want to feel loved. That's what we're all seeking in life, is love. Ultimately, that's what we're seeking. And so Christ calls us to be what it is that we want. You know, you want love, give love. Like my mom always said, by the way, welcome my parents this morning. you need to love others as you love yourself, you know. So we do live in a very divided world. And we are called to be Christ-like, love as he loves. So what does that mean? How does that look? There's a couple stories in the Bible that I want to touch on today. The first one is in John 13, 1 through 17. So I'm not going to read the whole scripture. Everybody kind of knows the story. I'm just going to kind of touch on it and talk about it. But knowing that the hour had come, knowing that he was about to suffer immeasurable pain, knowing that he was about to be beaten, he was about to be spit on, he was going to be drugged through the streets, he was going to die a very slow, painful. I mean, how many of you wish that when I die, I just want to go in my sleep, right? I just want to die in my sleep. I don't want to have to feel pain. I don't want to have to get in a car wreck. I don't want to have to hurt. He knew he was going to hurt. He knew that pain was coming in the morning. He knew that it was going to be pain like none of us could ever fathom. And yet, he stood up and wrapped a towel around his waist, got down on the floor, and washed his disciples' feet. Each and every one of them. Simon Peter even said at one point, "You can't wash my feet." Jesus replied, "You don't understand what I'm doing right now, but later you will. Later you will." He told them, "Now that I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also should wash another's feet." This was such a selfless act. How could he even be thinking about them? How could he be thinking about anything else but the fact that people were coming to kill him? People he loved were coming to kill him. And so he said to them, "Now that I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." Now, is he really saying everybody that you care about, make them take off their shoes and wash their feet? Probably not. I mean, you can. But he wants us to put others first. He wants us to put others above ourselves. He wants us to do for others what we would want done for us. And so selfless creates love. Humble people love. The lower you go in selfishness, the more you love others. And in Corinthians, let me write it down. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8. I just decided this morning that this one needed added into it because obviously it's a very important one. "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth." We've all heard people say, "I love my child more than anything, and I would take a bullet for them." Or, "I love my spouse so much, I'd jump in front of a train for them." Sometimes you might want to push them in front of it, but that's another whole sermon. But these are all examples of sacrificial love. Sacrificial love is being willing to sacrifice something humanly or fleshly for someone else. It's honorable. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's absolutely honorable. Sacrificial love is very honorable. You know, we have our military personnel that are willing to sacrifice themselves for us, for people they don't know. And but true biblical love involves all of that, but it involves so much more than that. I looked up somewhere, it said it is a full devotion of the one who loves, completely unselfish, absolutely no hope or desire for anything in return. Unlike human love, it is not looking for any type of gratitude or appreciation. That's a hard pill to swallow because we all like to feel appreciated. We all like to hear thank you. We all like to give something and get in return, you know. If I give you a hug and you hug me back, even just something that simple. But real love is doing it without expecting something back. But it's also a love that is so hard and maybe even impossible to comprehend in our earthly hearts, but it's a magnitude that's beyond measure and so powerful. That kind of love is what put Christ on the cross. And as believers, we're told, commanded to love one another like that. Paul tells us in Corinthians, love seeks not its own. So basically, it only wants for others, not for yourself. So things to ask yourself, how do you show love to your spouse? Is it only if they deserve it that you show them love? Do they have to earn your love? That's not godly love. Godly love is that Christ died on the cross for us, even when we were still sinners. So even when your spouse or your child or your friend isn't measuring up to where you think they should be or isn't acting the way you think they should act, you're still called to love them. So he did not demand that we choose him. And, you know, picture this in your mind. He didn't demand that we say, I'm going to follow Christ. He could have. He could have very well just made every one of us like robots. And you choose me. You follow my path. You do what I say. But he didn't. He didn't demand it. He didn't demand that we follow his word. He did not say, I'll die on the cross if you promise to follow me. If you promise to do what I'm asking and read my word. No, what he said was, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. How powerful is that? Forgive them. These people beat him beyond recognition. His own mother couldn't recognize him. They beat him so badly. And he said, forgive them. That's a hard pill to swallow. Could we do that? That's hard. So, let's look at Luke 10, 25 through 37. Again, I am going to kind of read most of it, but kind of jumping around. So an expert in the law had asked Jesus in reference to loving your neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? Who is it that I'm supposed to love like that? And to this, Jesus replied with a parable, with a story. And he said, so there was a Jewish man, and yes, that part is important, that he was a Jewish man. He was traveling along the road. He was attacked by some robbers and some thugs, and they beat him up, and they stole his clothes. They stripped him of everything that he had. And the Bible tells us they left him half dead, just laying on the side of the road. A little while later, a priest was walking up the road. He saw the Jewish man, but instead of offering assistance, or for that matter, even running and going and getting somebody else to come help this man, he crossed the street and kept walking. So as this man lay there crying out for help, another person came by, and it was a Levite, or like a temple assistant, they say. And in these times, you got to remember that there was no hospitals or ambulances or paramedics. You don't even have phones, let alone 911, to be able to get help. So the place that they went for help was the temple. And so he's outside the temple, and the priest comes out of the temple. So you got to picture, the priest is like the paramedic. And he came out, and he passed him by. So then here comes the assistant. Maybe that's the EMT. He comes out, walks up to him, then crosses the street and passes on by. As this man's laying there crying for help. Anything. Anything. And they both passed him by. So who do you go to then? What do you do? So after that one kept going, you know, I don't know if he was late for dinner and, you know, this isn't my problem and I got to hurry up and get home because Jenny's frying fish tonight. I don't know. But he just made it not his problem. It's never his problem. It was just very passive. This isn't my problem. Somebody else will come help him or he'll die. You know, no biggie. So then next comes a Samaritan. And you guys need to remember that Samaritans and Jews were like on opposite sides of the track. Like Samaritans and Jews didn't mix at all. And so the priest that should have helped the Jew, kept going. The assistant should have helped the Jew, kept going. Here comes his enemy, basically, coming up the street, walked up to him, and what did he do? He helped him. It says that he took oil and, what was it? Oil and bandages and bandaged his wounds. He could have stopped there. He helped him that much. And how many people would be like, you know, I got him bandaged up. You're good. I gotta get home, you know, because I got to eat supper too. But he didn't. He picked that man up off the road. He set him on his donkey. Can you imagine what people around seeing this thought? He set him on his donkey, and he led him to an inn where he stayed and took care of him overnight. He could have stopped there. I did my duty. I got him cleaned up. I got him bandaged. I took him to the inn. I got, you know, he got food in his stomach. He's got a warm place to sleep. We're good. I gotta go. He went to the innkeeper and gave him money, and he said, please look after this man. Take care of him while I'm gone. Did he stop there? Nope. He said, when I return, I will gladly pay you whatever expenses you've incurred that I didn't already cover. That's going so much further beyond just human love. That is going so much further beyond, let me help you up off the street and just get you out of the way so you don't get run over by a horse. You know, I mean, he could have stopped so much sooner. So could Jesus. But he didn't. He went that extra step and he took care of him and then made sure he was going to be taken care of even without his presence. So when Jesus asked which of these was the neighbor, the man replied, the one who showed mercy. Jesus simply said, go and do likewise. That's exactly what he wants us to do. It is so easy to stay in the shadows and hope that the next guy helps our brother out who's suffering. I mean, after all, we all have our own problems and burdens, and we're so busy, right? I don't have time to call him. I don't have money to take him to lunch. I was planning on going for a walk this evening. My favorite show's on tonight. I need to hurry out of here and get lunch ready. There's a million and one reasons not to be that Samaritan. We can come up with a million and one more. You know, I got to tell you quickly, and it's just a short, humbling story for me. When we were in the crux of, I'm going to embarrass her, sorry. When we were in the crux of Zanessa's chemotherapy, she was sick. She was very sick. And we were in Omaha this time, and I mean, she didn't even hardly sit up in the car. She was always hunched over, and she was so sick from the chemotherapy. And we stopped at a gas station, and across the street, she had seen this elderly black man laying on the sidewalk. So pretty obvious he was homeless. And so when we're in the gas station, she comes up and she says, can I buy some food and give it to that guy across the street? I said, sure. So she gets him a sandwich and a bag of chips and a Gatorade in a bag. And I pulled up, and it's on Dodge Street. So if anybody knows Omaha, it's a very busy street. And I just had to stop. So, you know, God was with us. We didn't get hit by anybody. But she got out of the car as sick and weak as she was. She got out of the car, and the man didn't open his eyes. He kept his eyes shut. But at one point, I kind of saw, like, a little, you know, slit. Like, but he didn't want us to know that he was awake, basically. And so she set it down in front of him, and she comes and gets in the car. And we go to drive off, and she said, well, what if somebody else comes by and gets it? What am I supposed to do? So we circled the block just to make sure that the guy got it. And when we came back around, he had tucked it up under his head and was using it for a pillow. So we know he got it. But it's like in the middle, she's a child. And in the middle of her pain and her suffering and what she's going through, I mean, yes, she got lots of attention. She was spoiled rotten the whole time she was on chemo because the outpour of love was insane. It was awesome. But in the middle of that, like as a mom, that was so humbling for me because it's so easy to be in your own head and be in your own problems and be in your own circumstances and not see the world and not see what God's calling you to do or who God's calling you to help. And in the middle of that, she was willing to, she wanted to just give the man some food, and she gave him a pillow at the same time. So So I just wanted to point out, you know, we may not think that we're an issue. We may not think that we caused the problem, whether it's in our church, in our home, wherever it is. We kind of have the attitude of, hey, I go to church, I pray, I tithe. I shook the pastor's hand. I said hi to Brett and Dale in the back. Nobody ever notices them. And so, like, I did my good deed for the week, so I'm good till next Sunday. But Jesus shows us that love's not passive. Love doesn't cross the street and pass by. Love steps in the middle of the problem and is part of the solution. If you aren't loving with actions, you aren't loving like Christ. And choosing not to do anything, which can be classified as lukewarm Christianity, we've talked about that before, is choosing not to love your neighbor. Jesus' kind of love takes action in that moment. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. To love him is to love others. You show your love for God by loving others and by how you love others and how you treat others. So how do we do that? We take action. We go the extra mile. Step out of your comfort zone and show God's love to the world, even if it is one person at a time. Maybe there's an addict that lives in your neighborhood that just is struggling. And you know, I'll be honest, I used to joke with a doctor that I worked with. Like, I had a neighbor that, we would try not to make eye contact, and he had a similar neighbor, and we would talk about, don't make eye contact because then you're going to have to talk to him. You know, so like you'd rush into your house. That's not what God calls us to do. Make eye contact. Reach out your hand. Just be the love that they're needing in that moment. Even if all you do is say hi, you know, somebody noticed them. Sometimes you don't realize what an impact that makes on someone else. So if it's one person at a time, like I said, maybe it's a husband fighting to keep going. The woman who's outside the normal of your group, maybe you could interact with her. Or maybe it's in your own house. But God calls us to be that Samaritan. So I want to end this with the last verse, John 3:16. If you guys want to read it with me or just know it and want to say it with me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is the ultimate showing of love.
Amen. Now that title, Love Like